Good evening. I'd like to call the Carson City Historic Resources Commission to order on Thursday, November 13th, 2014, at 5:30 p.m. Item A, call to action and determination of quorum.
Chairperson Block.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Darney.
Here.
Commissioner Dickey.
Here.
Commissioner Drews.
Here.
Commissioner Hayes.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Spilda.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Great, thank you. Now about item B, public comments. Members of the public who wish to address this, the commission may approach the podium at this time to speak on matters relevant to or within the authority of the Historic Resources Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. And seeing no public, move on to item. Moving on to item C, action on approval of minutes.
I move to approve the minutes of the special meeting on Thursday, October 9th, 2014, as presented.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a correction.
Clarification. On the second page of what we received, it's by time, so 6:02:07. Things that I had said about the sign, but I said I was not opposed to an illuminated sign, but let's just be clear, that means externally illuminated, not internally illuminated. You know, if you had an exterior light, that's a possibility. I'm not pushing interior illumination, so it's not really clear from that, the way it's stated.
Okay, any other corrections or modifications? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Item D, modification of agenda. Agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Do we have any modification to the agenda?
No modifications.
Okay, now on to item E, disclosures. Any members of the commission that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission. Do we have some disclosures, Mr. Drews?
Yeah, I talked with Mr. Whipley at the end of September regarding item F1 and the Historic Commission or Resource Commission process.
Do we have any other disclosures? I'm going to disclose that I met with Dick Whipley and the representative for the Pruitt Family Trust over at the location to talk about the agenda item F1. So going on to any more disclosures? Going on to item F, public hearing matters. F1, HRC-14-145 for possible action to approve a request from Richard Whipley, property owner Marilyn Harper, trustee for Pruitt Family Trust, to replace 9 single-pane windows with 9 new double-pane windows on property zoned residential office RO located at 403 North Nevada Street, APN 003-225-04. Susan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Susan Dorpansky, planning manager. Tamar, my screen's not up again. Sorry. It was up for a second, and now it's not. So this is an application, as the chairman stated, to replace 9 existing single-pane windows in the residence at 403 North Nevada Street. I'm sorry, it's being used as an office currently. Sorry, just bear with us for 1 second. That do it?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Do it one more time so you can see it.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right. So, as I was saying, an application to replace 9 single-pane existing original windows on the property with 9 double-pane windows. This is actually a very similar application to the application that the commission heard last month. Just for some background, this parcel is located on the corner of West Telegraph and North Nevada Street, as shown in the aerial on the overhead. and some photos of the property. This is looking to the east, the front of the property, to the north, the northeast, and then back to the northwest, the rear of the property. The commission has this in their packet, but this is essentially some additional photos of all the property and all the windows that are proposed to be replaced. The owner has indicated that they would like to replace the windows so that they can have operable windows, and apparently these windows are not currently operable. So the applicant has selected windows that are nearly identical double pane windows that will have the window pane separators on the outside. And a picture here that shows all the different places where the 9 windows will be replaced. They're kind of a little bit difficult to see, but all of the shaded areas around the exterior of the building. And these are 2 photos of windows that would be similar. I would note, though, that the panes will not be the same as what is shown here, because that would not be identical to what is on the property now. But this is essentially what the product would look like with the dividers on the outside. I believe the applicant also told me that these particular windows would have dividers not only on the outside, but also on the inside of the panes to make it as close to authentic as possible. Staff is recommending approval of this project, and the applicant, Richard Whipley, is in the audience to answer questions as well.
Mr. Whipley, would you like to come up and state your name for the record?
For the record, Richard Whipley. Mr. Chairman, can I approach?
Absolutely.
This is actually a cross-section front top. And the grids are on the inside and outside. So this is how the construction would be.
So Mr. Whiffley just brought me a sample from Pella showing the dividers on the inside and the outside of the glass.
And Pella further went to say, on those particular windows, they have one vertical grid down the center rather than what we're used to seeing, more of a, you know, vertical and horizontal. And Pella said they will make them like that with just one vertical grid. So it will mirror what's presently there.
So it would be the rectangular 2/2 sort of a
correct
thing.
Yeah. It's if you look at the existing, otherwise I have some pictures here, but if you look at the existing, they simply have one down the center running vertically.
I have a question that's broader than that, and that's, I know the windows were stated as being not operable or something, but I keep looking at our guidelines. I'm really sort of disappointed in us, the commission. We don't put much energy into doing what the first part of the guidelines for windows are, and that is retain, if at all possible, and repair, of course, where necessary, the original windows. I know from my own house there were some that weren't operable. Some were, like, pretty badly operable and shuttered as they went up and down, and they leaked like a sieve, and you couldn't sit near them because it was cold and drafty. And so I put all my money and energy into repairing that when we did our remodel 10, 12 years ago. And it did so much to improve the energy efficiency. I still have single-pane windows with inside covering, you know, and I've not felt the need to even go to the storm windows, external, exterior, you know, or interior, which you could also do to create a sort of a double pane effect.
Right.
So I just keep, it bugs me that we don't put much energy into that, this group. I don't know about those windows, as if we were stated they were inoperable, but I know things that were operable before, if you want them operable, are usually fixable, and how much it costs and how it compares to buy a new window, I don't know about that. I felt at the time when I did it myself that it didn't seem any more pricey than the pricey windows I would have put in there. But, you know, I'd like to just bring that out because I don't know the details of this particular house, you know, but that's sort of the idea. Those are our guidelines, to save the historic elements where at all possible. If they need repair, fix it, you know, and then go at it in terms of draftiness and so on. and or storm windows or whatever it takes to make it efficient enough that your electric bill is, or a gas bill or whatever, is tolerable, you know, during the cold months. So that's the bottom line. But
no, Greg, I'm sympathetic to that. And actually, after talking to Mike and talking to Jed, they may be more aware of it, even though I have a little bit of history with this type of work. They may be more aware of it. And I had talked to the applicant at first before we even approached it. And I wanted to keep the job as simple as possible. I'm not trying to generate more work. I'm not trying to do that. And so there was a lot of good reasons to leave the windows in, as you've said. And what you brought up is really important. I can't get the wave of the windows anymore. That's gone when they're gone. But when we looked at them, I said to the owner, if you wish to make it a commercial property where it is simply a closed window and we have air conditioners, so it's a fixed system like you would in any commercial building, then the operation of the windows becomes a moot issue. It's not that important. And she said no, she wanted them to operate. And I said, okay, if they operate, we've got some that are going to have to be replaced. There's a couple you can see on the photo. Some of them are a little bit tougher shape. And she said, I want them operable, I want them new. And for us to operate these here, the difficulty comes into, if we're taking the inside of the house, it's lath and plaster in most areas, we have to pull off that casing and get into the ropes, get into the operation. I'm not saying it can't be done. We've done it a lot of times before. On the outside, it is asbestos siding. So I don't like to get in doing too much disruption of that product. This seemed to be a compromise that the owner, and this was on three occasions. I'm going to the commission meeting this Monday. I made that call again. Some of them are going to recommend that we keep them. What is your posture on that? I can come up with a great argument for keeping them. I want them replaced because of this. And I felt that I was working for her. She has the right to say that. And I felt that I gave the best compromise of putting a product in that did not take the casing off the outside, did not take the casing off the inside. And by removing the sash with a stop, we could slide a unit in, and Pella said they could build it that tight. So I explored it, and I'm sympathetic to it, but I work for somebody. So that's kind of my answer.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Just to clarify one thing, it looks as if all, if not all these, most of them are actual operable windows that are inoperable.
They were,
because
correct.
Of multiple
yeah.
coats of
painted,
paint and things like that, right?
Yeah.
When you're going to install the new unit, you're just going to remove the top and bottom sash. Are you destroying anything of the old window frame? I mean, in other words, could it be restored back to?
If you look at the
if
one,
if you kept the sashes, could they be reinstalled at some time if somebody so chose?
Well, in another location, you mean?
No, in this location, since you're going to leave the mechanisms in the wall, it sounds like.
I'm going to leave the mechanisms in the wall, but if I take the sash with the frame, as in, you can see in the lower left-hand corner, that particular one is going to be difficult to find any salvage there, or very little salvage. But if I take the sash out with the frame of the sash and just remove the stops, my thoughts are we're going to remove the stops, pull the windows, the glass, and their frame out, and then Pella will fit in that, go in that position like that. Rob, as far as what to do with the windows, we've tried to be, over the years, we've tried to be really sensitive to it. In fact, if you go to the museum, the second floor is a lot of things that have been removed from the historic district, and that's what built the second floor, a fair amount. So, the windows have a great value, but apparently not for the owner in this house.
Will the sash weights be attached to the new windows and be part of the operating system?
Will the sash be what now?
The sash weights, the operation of the windows, will they be the same?
No. Pella has a spring system.
So will they stay in place in the wall?
They would. Because we just don't want to open that area up. At least that's the plan.
Dick, I have a question for you. So from the inside, when you pull out the stops and the glass and everything, the original frame's still going to be in there.
Correct.
So we're going to have another frame on the inside of the original frame.
Correct.
How much more is that going to be than just the original windows?
That's what I tried to look at how it would be. And if you look at the sash that I handed you up there, that's a quite a bit thinner sash than looks like structurally they made. I'd like to say that we're going to probably lose 3/4 inch, but it may not even be that great. I won't get away from the mic. It may not even be that great because if you look at the original sash frame, that looks like a thicker member than does the new frames. So I'm gonna say to be safe, you're going to lose 3/4 inch, 7/8 inch, but if it reads the way those read there, maybe we won't lose that much.
Yeah, because looking at this, this is smaller than the window that's appearing to be visible because you have that other stop there. So when that stop's removed, we're probably going to have another plate, probably 3/4 inch.
We would at least that on that frame.
So we'd have
about an inch there. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the only grid profile that they have? Because that's a thicker grid than the current windows.
I'm sorry, is this the only grid profile they have?
Profile?
It's about the same.
We tried to mirror it, is what we did.
This part is a little bit thinner than what was on the original window when you had the separate pieces of glass. And I just said that because I spent 2 days with a contractor replacing sash cords and six windows.
I could probably put about 60 coats of paint on those over 100 years and see if that helps, Jed. I'm being facetious, Jed, okay?
I think what Luann might have meant is that it's wider, the divider appears wider than what the original was, not necessarily the depth of it.
Right. The width of it. Cover up more of the window pane. So in this, you have mostly glass with just a narrow mullion.
They're actually about the same. Pretty close.
I think if you look at an historic window and look at the mutant and then the window glazing, it's a little bit more pronounced than this, but I think the width is the same because I think what you're seeing here is faux glazing. So yeah, it's the.
If you look, Mike, at the center style, the one running horizontal across the very center of the window, that there in theory is a mullion there, but there's not really one. What you're seeing is you're seeing the top and bottom of the double hung windows, and so it almost looks like that's depicting about that distance. So, is it close? We're at limit to what the company will make too.
Will those windows be salvaged?
Yes. All of them should be salvaged. And typically what we do, I mean, the owner owns them, so that's her choice what to do with them. But everything that I've historically remodeled in the past, we've called either Scott Coletti over at the museum when he was there and said, what do you need? And things like that. Or I'd love to see them go in something else. If nothing else, they're probably going to go out in my warehouse and be stacked until somebody said they need them. But at this point, I would not throw them away if that's the question.
You said that the owner had many objections. Could you kind of tell us what her feelings were, why she didn't want to consider repairing?
She just felt that she wanted a new product in there, and the reason being, be it convenience, energy efficient. I mean, we can make a great debate on that. If we put enough drapes or we put enough things on there or even a storm window, we could get there. And that was part of my conversation with her. Basically, it was just I want a new window because some of them are as bad as, well, it's not that lower right, that lower left-hand corner. Some of them are that bad. And it's going to be labor intense, and Greg knows how labor intense it is, and she did not want to go that direction.
Well,
does she realize the value of this house is a historic resource? I mean, this is unusually.
She's extremely sensitive to it because she owns all of them, and she's spent a lot of money in the one that's just next door, where Norm, the attorney's in, and she owns actually all of them in that corner, so she's very aware of it.
Has she ever thought of taking off the asbestos siding?
She just acquired it from, I believe, the Horseshoe, and so at this point that was not anything that was brought to me or as a possibility. We went in and took out oil furnace and made it capable of getting through the winter without troubles. That was our scope.
I was just wondering if she was ever thinking of taking off the siding, off the asbestos siding, then going back to the original siding, then the original windows would probably be an attractive feature rather than taking out the windows now and then taking off the siding later and then that quandary of wanting to have those windows back.
I don't think that particular structure and I can't speak for her, but I don't think she wants to spend a great deal of money on that structure there. And we have not even talked about removing the asbestos siding. We've done it on other houses, and it was just a great salesman that came through in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and he just sold like crazy. No, she hasn't talked about it at all. Probably a paint, and we have some of those asbestos shingles, so we can repair if needed.
Let me ask you this. In terms of their inoperability, have you explored it in any detail? Are some of them just inoperable because they're painted shut, for example? I mean, the weights basically still work in the old system?
To be honest with you, I did not. We fiddled around with one, probably our best one, and it was on the front side, and fiddled around with like a putty knife and fiddled around to see what's there. Until I have them really operable, I can't tell if the weights are intact or not. But I would be surprised if the cotton rope was still intact at this point. And for me to get access to it is pull the siding off the inside, pull the casing off the inside. So that was an area she didn't want to go.
David, well, I think there's an inspection cover because I've unearthed them in all of my windows where you have to take out the glass from the inside and the center stop. And then it's one screw and it's mortised in and you can get to the weights without pulling any of the casement off and things like that. But I think where we kind of are on this, you have a contractor here that's very sympathetic to the district, and you have Maryland that's put an extensive amount of money into the district. If it were my property, all the windows would be operable, all the sash cords would be fixed because I'm getting pretty good at that. On my house, my 6 foot 6 windows, it's about $30,000. But to put vinyl shutters, it's $4,800. But what we're dealing with is a property owner that's elderly, taking care of family, is here part time, and that's what she wants. So we have to determine if we're going to allow her to do that or not. And as you look, the windowsill that you're looking at on the north side, Greg, it's all three-piece windowsills. I mean, you've got the frame, the sill, and that outside part can be rebuilt. It can all be remade. There's people that still can make all those windows brand new, single pane. But we're kind of up to Dick's presenting this for his client, and the client is basically said that, hey, I want brand new stuff because I want it to last longer, and I'm guessing that she doesn't want to have to mess with it ever again. And she's approaching my dad's age, so she's...
But, I mean, some of these windows may be so bad that that's a new one is clearly the logical choice. But in terms of the commission's work, I mean, the fact that someone wants new and it's more energy efficient is not the way we start, you know. That's not... That's their what they want, and that's, you know, those are their feelings on it, but that's not a good reason. Really, initially, if things can be reasonably easily made operable, and I realize it gets trickier if you don't want to invade the genuine lath and plaster on the inside,
or the exterior,
or that asbestos thing staring at you on the exterior. This is a tougher assignment, I guess. But still, it's like this: you shouldn't just like heave out the history just because I want new, because then they'll last longer than I'm going to last, and that's that. And like a 50-year roof, I'm done. kind of a thing. It's just, I mean, that's not our orientation. That's not why we're coming up, having these meetings and sitting here, I don't think. We're trying to save the historic elements if at all possible, you know, but still, you know, make some sense and don't ask for unreasonable things cost-wise, et cetera. So trying to balance it out. But, you know, it's frustrating to me to not give it a little energy and see if you can find a way into those weights, I mean, whatever you were describing, Jeff.
Well, as far as, I'm sorry.
What? Is there any chance that she would maybe replace a few of the windows but not all of them at this one shot and maybe see how, if we could work with
I think operating? As close as we try to match the windows, when we put a window in, I think that's the new signature. And if less one's on the north side, one's on the south side, that becomes the visual signature. And for me to do a new one on the left window and an old one on the right window, it's going to scream at you.
Are there ones that are they worse on the north side, for instance?
Well, typically the south side is the side that's going to get most of the weather, and those are the worst. There's some you can't see it very well, but they have sagging sashes there in some of the windows. And then on the north side, we have a particular problem because they had one of the little shed roofs dripping on there, and that's what caused a lot of the massive damage on this one on the lower left. And not trying to insult the house because, I mean, you look at each house and you try to save as much as you can and try to, and the district is a big patchwork quilt. But when I look at houses, this is not the great, it's been bastardized a fair amount of times, to put a better word for it, Greg. If you go around to the back side, there's a lean-to that was put on probably in the 50s, 60s, that's not terribly attractive. But the asbestos doesn't make it anything better. And I'm not making excuses for it. I'm not saying, God, my house is ugly, so let me do it. I'm just simply saying, this is not the poster child for, this is not the Bliss Mansion. Okay?
Still, personally, I'd like to see some effort, particularly in the most publicly viewed areas, you know, to preserve the old if we can, you know, and deal with the energy issues in other ways.
I can just represent what my client wants, you know.
Well, and, you know, when we look at this stuff, you can insulate, you can drill and fill in the walls, you can put insulation in the attic, which you're going to recoup your money out of. My personal residence, all the windows do work now. They were all inoperable. 95% of the sash cords were broken. You can still buy sash cord. They didn't use the chain. Doesn't appear to anything that I've done. Then my office building, they were all screwed and caulked shut, and that is so energy efficient, it's within 3% of having to vent out the house or to vent out the office. And it is commercial. From what I learned with working with woodworking specialties, that any of these things can be replaced, rebuilt, repaired, fixed, and you can still use them. You know, if we're going to, the precedence has kind of been set, and our hands have kind of been tied in the past when we've allowed windows, we being the commission, maybe not the individual members that are on this commission now, but we have the Stuart Nye House that they replaced all the Capitol Glass replaced all those windows. We've got some precedents that I think we need to be careful of, and you know, I agree with you, Greg. By all means, I would do everything possible in my means if it was my house to save the windows, because they're definitely savable. You screw things to get, pull out wood plugs, and you put metal screws in there now that keeps them operable. The weights are probably still intact. You know, I would love for them to keep all the windows here. And, you know, it's up to us to decide whether we're going to let Mr. Whiffley's client, who's the applicant, have these new windows or not.
I happen to have gone by and looked at the windows myself today. And the new, I don't know if they're Pella or Anderson's, they're put in the attorney's office.
Oh, those are Anderson. I'm sorry.
I think they are Anderson. I don't know if they came here, but the thing I've seen us do since I've been on here is we've had people take out steel windows, and we eventually cave and see them put in vinyl, you know, with Capital Glass, where we all assisted that poor lady. What impresses me here is that the effort that was made to go to a national company to spend a lot on a window that's in a restoration mode to create a window that's going to match what's being taken out of there, and that width going there, I wanted to mention, is probably a little bit wider than you have there. So this is actually a little bit narrower than I had seen the sample till tonight. But what impresses me is, instead of having a cave, we've got somebody that's gone out and found a restoration window that can be put in there that will be modified to match what's there, that gives them what they want, but also attempts to maintain the character and the historic significance of the window that's in there. And I'd just like to say I commend them for going out and doing that extra work instead of coming in here and asking us to do it for them. You know, they brought us a great product in a way that we can probably address that and keep the context of the building.
Since I've been talking a lot, I do want to say I really appreciate you looked around and how can we match these 2x2 double pane windows and that kind of thing and get it done to look substantially the same, presumably. You know, fellow's going to work with you and so on. The one actually on that scale, though, the one thing that bothers me, all these high-end windows now love this exterior cladding for very practical reasons. But in a historic district, it still bugs me that what I'm looking at is metal or maybe plastic in some cases, I don't know, but it's cladding you do on the outside versus the wood that needs to be painted every so often, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, it does, but that's the way it used to be, and that's the way it is on those old windows, and that's what I'd like to see, no cladding if I were doing a new product. That's what I did when the new ones I put in years and years ago, and yes, they get painted more often than I want to paint them, but hey, it's all part of the fun.
Let me add to that a little bit. I kind of agree with both you and Don and a lot of your subject, but one of the things I want to see if we can think through on this is that these buildings are occupied. They're continuously occupied. If this was a museum piece we're restoring for static display, it would be a different story, but you have a practical use of continuous use that you have to keep in mind. When they restore World War II aircraft, you still have a modern spark plug firing the engine. You still have modern propeller turning there's certain things that you have to do to keep maintain its usability throughout the years, as opposed to just simply make it in a museum piece for all to walk by and look at. We want to try to do the best of both that we can. Otherwise, they become empty shells that deteriorate and go away. So in that said, one of the other questions I was following that line first of replacement, if you were to take the sashes out and replace the windows and kept the sashes, could they at some point be reinstalled if someone so chose?
As long as there's enough structure wood there, Rob. You know, I mean, as you look at the one there in the lower corner, obviously the sill has no structure. But I think the windows, all you'd have to do to make them functional, whether they're a museum, like they're up at the second floor or something, you just put them in a frame, put stops on them, and now they look like a regular window. I would like to have them used because the glass itself is really kind of a neat thing, the blurry glass, you know.
You can get that ordered on the outside pane if you choose. It's an option, I believe, to get
the glass. You're talking about the exterior of the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever order that.
I've seen it, and they make all kinds of stuff. I mean,
we've done it before, but it's really... It's just something. Why not take advantage of the new spark plugs?
Right, and my line here on asking the questions is that we've had a history here of if you're going to improve a historic building or add to it or anything like that, there's always been the question of if somebody wanted to restore it back to its original context, could it be done without detriment to the original structure?
Well, I'm trying to leave everything I can as far as the window trim and things like that, that I just really don't want to, I don't want to run the meter on something that all she wants is some windows. So I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can. Could it be replaced? Yeah. I mean, this one, we'll probably put it in with 8 screws.
That's kind of my answer, you know. That's what I'm looking for. So.
Well, it would stand to reason that the original frames are 7/8 to 1 inch thick. You remove the stops, leave the frames in there, remove the stops, put a new frame in with this window. From the casual observer, everybody, probably most everybody except for Greg and Jed Block, that would go up and say, I know this is not original. I can tell by this because I get stuck on facts and details like that. But when you're walking down the street, you're not going to go, wow, these windows are so much newer than Abram Curry's house across the street or the Hyman Olkovich house that's on the other corner or looking over at the old bank building. I mean, it's, yeah, believe me, I'd love to save all the windows and all that stuff because I've done it. I've rebuilt it, and it's saved me a lot of money. And part of the reason I've done that is I think I'm cheap or just very conscious of how much money it takes to restore these things and how much money you're looking at it. I'd love to see the cement asbestos siding off the outside of it, and you're filling a bunch of nail holes. But I think that if somebody wanted to go back and say, hey, you call Jim at Woodworking Specialties and make me double-hung windows that fit in these original frames, he can do it. So I think the answer to your question, Rob, is with the original frame still in there, with 8 screws, a little bit of putty and some stops and some new windows, you could take it back to that era if you wanted to. And I know that when they do windows like this where they have the historic glass in them, there's no warranty when it leaves the factory.
Right.
They get to the job site and they're broken, too bad. You know, when it gets fairly expensive. But, I mean, Dick did have a comment, it's not the Bliss Mansion, but even still, when you're looking from the sidewalk to the windows, it's really hard for you to see all that detail, and especially after these have been painted to match the house or the original color, where they can be repainted every 5 to 10 years instead of every 6 months to a year and a half. Because that's, you know, we do the same thing. We with the old wood's denser, you know, there was a 300-year drought up in Tahoe, but you still have to paint it and prime it, and it's a maintenance nightmare. So looking at this, it's in residential commercial, I believe. Is that the zoning, Susan? Residential office. If it's always an office and somebody owns the building and they want to rent it out, the last thing they want to do is be painting every 2 years. So that's...
You know, those are really character-defining features of this building, and I think a lot of people here realize that, and the siding has already been changed. If you change the windows next, that has completely degraded the integrity of that building and in turn affects the integrity of the whole district. Our district isn't made up of Bliss Mansions. It's made up of small, sort of humble buildings like this that retain some of their integrity. The thing about a spark plug is you can't see it. Like putting in a new furnace, awesome. It's great, makes it functional. I think that the windows, the original windows, can be functional and comfortable for someone to live in, as many people here live in a house comfortably with old windows. And for me, this is really cut and dried and simple. Our directive is to retain and repair windows when possible. I think it's very possible. I'm sorry the woman's not considering this, and I'm sympathetic that it's maybe expensive, but I think our directives are very clear-cut. Retain when possible, and it's very possible to retain them.
I think it's a good discussion to have. I think we need to make everybody aware that there are alternatives to taking out windows and putting new ones in. I'm not sure if I agree with your comment about this being the last straw that totally diminishes the integrity of the building. It certainly affects it, but I think from a distance, it can be acceptable. What I hate to see is for people to start thinking that I'm never going to buy in this district because I can't do anything. Instead of spending $5,000 to replace windows, I've got to spend twice as much to get a craftsman to repair it the way that a real restoration professional would. And I think we need to, in an ideal world, it'd be great to do what this commission really sees as the best possible way to make these windows operable and to satisfy the Secretary's standards, HARC standards, and everything else. And if we follow it to the letter, then we repair it.
but at the same time, I don't want people that live within the district to think, I can't do anything. I'm not even going to bother anymore. I'm going to let these things rot. They'll fall apart and walk away from it. So it's not the best solution. I mean, if you look at Old House Journal, you'll see Pella and Anderson advertisements for replacement windows right along with replacement set or remodeled or new sashes, remanufactured sashes and wavy glass and everything else. So, you know, it's an ideal. It's something that we should strive for. It's something that every applicant who comes in for a window replacement should be aware of. But I think we have to have the latitude to approve windows that are a quality window, that meet the appearance and in some regard comply with our standards.
I have one comment. I just want to pick up on that. The other fear I have is that people will just not come in. They'll just replace the window. And that creates, I think, a bigger problem for us. The little lady from San Jose, you know, that went on for over 6 months. And, yeah, and truly, people go in and start replacing these windows unless somebody walks by and sees it. They're just going to do it. And I'd rather that they come here so that we can have these discussions with them and make sure they went through the efforts that Mr. Whipley did on this particular one. So just going down to Lowe's and buying a vinyl window and sticking it in because it kind of looked like the old one. At least we have an opportunity to have the dialogue with them.
Let me add to that, Don. Actually, add to Mike's comment that that's why I brought up the part about can it be ever replaced, to put back to how it was if one so chose. If someone came along and wanted to restore this house and get rid of the asbestos siding, replace the siding at that time, they could restore the windows fairly simply as far as replacing those sashes and taking out the newer windows if they so chose. And that's really the bottom line I was getting at here, is that option is still available. We are not doing anything, making any decision by letting them replace these windows that would procure them not being able to at some time restore this house to its original condition and type.
If you remove the windows and they go to your storeroom or the, unless they're sitting in the basement of this, and then in 50 years someone decides, hey, I'm going to take that building. I mean, it just seems like infinitesimally small that the original windows will be put back. And if you don't have the original windows, you're going to replace them with a high-quality replacement window, which is what you have. So I don't get what the point of.
So could we? Do you think she would be consider leaving the front two windows on the west facing, by the front door? Just leave two original windows and then replace all the other ones, so that we would have the original window in there for in case somebody wanted to restore the house back to its original condition.
Are you saying leave the two windows on the west side? Is that what you're saying?
I guess you would have to also
I don't think of
it from terms of the inside. If you're going to do two in the front, there's a third one in that room, you'd probably want to do that also.
I don't know what kind of shape specifically those are in without looking at them again, but I would probably tell the applicant do nothing, because I would find it so offensive to me, and maybe from an architect standpoint, I'd find it offensive to put an Appella and then have this window in the same site plan.
Now, I'd be agreeable to replacing the two street front sides, because the east side, which is that lean-to addition, those are newer windows. And the one on the north is kind of by itself. It's just that single window back in the back behind the fence. And that's the one in the worst condition, I understand.
I would have no intention of doing the upper right-hand corner, which is the east exposure. I have no intention of doing anything there
exactly.
Right now.
Right.
Simply because they're on a sight line. It's right there on that telegraph square, so you can see it. But the siding is ugly. The door is ugly. There's no steps. I mean, it's...
Get back to your comment, the window sashes are all that were going to be removed, just the squares holding the glass. And that those are actually easy, because they usually are in such poor condition, they usually end up getting rebuilt completely. New wood, new glass, everything, unless there's a problem with the glass, like it's nicked or damaged.
I know, but you usually want the profile of the of the frame of the mullion between the glass frame to make it an original window. I mean, that's the signature of the window.
I guess my point would be is that if someone came back and redid the siding and wanted to restore those windows, that those sashes would probably get replaced with rebuilt sashes that may have double pane.
Which is basically what he's proposing to do now.
No, he's replacing the whole entire window frame and everything. The window frame is still going to be left in the wall with the cords and the weights.
Right,
and all
but that's not really a visually impacting from the outside. When he says that if I would be offended by having, you know, my senses would be offended by having the new window next to the old window, that tells me these are different enough in appearance that you will notice them.
That's a builder. I mean, I've got single pane windows. I've got double pane Pella. I would find that.
I agree with you. I think that a lot of people would notice that they are different. That tells me they're not quite really in kind.
You're saying notice. I'm saying notice from the standpoint of they work. They're double pane. They're Pella. They function. I mean, I'm not even saying aesthetically. I'm saying the function would bother me.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the best I can tell you. You know,
Did you tell us in the beginning what you said, well, what if they tell you that we want to work with the old windows?
She said, I don't want them. You know,
is it my way or the highway? Is that the message?
No, I don't believe that was ever the case. And I believe her history in that block doesn't say that it's my way or the highway. She looked at the windows and saw the condition, what we feel the condition, the usage. She wants them operable. She doesn't want to spend a massive amount of money on a rental property that she'll probably already lose money on anyway. But I'm just saying, I'm just representing the windows. I can't represent them much better than I am. If you feel you don't want to do those things, sat there for many, many years, I think there's a couple things that could happen. First of all, there's been a precedent set of what's been acceptable. The other thing is, Mike said it best, you're going to make it so hard for people to do it, they ain't going to do it, you know. And that's not, I'm just telling you.
I hear that message.
There is a reality.
I appreciate that. But on the other hand, are some of these windows, possibly, if you looked a little closer, a little more data gathered, salvageable, can be made operable, et cetera, and not drafty or whatever the issues are, for an amount of money that still makes sense to her? I mean, can you give her some sense of, well, here's what it's going to cost if we did X, Y, and Z for these, at least these. These over here are really worn out, and we got to replace them. These over here we can do X, Y, Z on it. It's going to cost about this much. Some frame of reference.
I don't know. I explained to her the process, and I explained to her that, you know, basically the labor kind of thing that's involved, and you want to go that direction, and that was not a direction she wanted to go. And it's not that this woman has not restored a lot of stuff in this town. So she's not an amateur saying, Jesus, I don't want to restore things. I mean, she's probably spent more than anybody else in this town restoring.
So, you know, with that, we'll have to entertain a motion. We're going to have public comment. But, you know, if you're looking at, as far as aesthetics going down the Blue Line Trail, I mean, do you want the five windows that you can see in the middle left picture, the two in the front, the two facing the south, and the other one facing the west, so you have those two sides, and get rid of the two windows that are in the back with that door on the right-hand side, and then eliminate the problem on the north side of the building, which is the upper left of the series of nine, upper right rather, where you've got that dormer roof coming into the windowsill and eliminate some problems. I mean, the north side and the rear, there's probably the two least noticeable sides versus the west side that we're seeing in the upper left and doing that. So it's going to be, I think, up to whoever makes the motion. And so with that said, at this point, because it's almost like we're belaboring this, because Greg and I love windows, apparently, that why don't we get some public comment on this project, if there is any public comment. Anybody in the audience want to speak about this project?
Sadly, I have public comment because I have window restoration.
Mr. Hersey, if you could come to the mic and state your name for the record.
Yes,
First of all, I have no strong opinions on this, but I spent 2 months restoring two windows just like that, the south side of the house. Most of it's paint removal because there's a buildup of paint. They won't go up and down. So I take off this piece of trim and that piece of trim, remove the paint, put it all back together. Single pane windows, restored the cords and the weights. She says they still don't open right. But, I don't know, they open a little bit. And we have storm windows on it. So that's one comment. They are restorable. It took me 2 months to do two windows, not full time, but it's a labor of love. And the other thing I do want to mention, that sill right there, I have a beach house in South Carolina. I have chopped out rotten sills like that and just slid up a new piece of wood, and you can fix those. On my house, since the rot's not really that bad here in Carson City, I sanded it all down, took out the bad parts, put Bondo over the top, painted it, and it's been fine for 10 years. So there's ways to fix that thing, too. But at the same time, if you put on a window that's new, that looks almost exactly like the old window, then who cares?
Thank you, Mr. Hersey. Any other public comment? Mr. Brenneman.
Yeah, since you guys have mentioned Bliss Mansion a number of times, I thought it might be useful to actually find out what was done to Bliss Mansion. Every one of the windows in Bliss Mansion is new except for one. Everyone is thermopane, Pella, except for one window that was kept on the second floor. Now, what they did at Bliss Mansion is they made all, they were all custom-built windows to exactly match what the original size windows were, and they weren't 2/2, they were just 1/1. But I'm with him. If it looks good enough from the street, I would say let's modernize things because people like windows that can go up and down and don't have to be repainted every year. My windows are, I guess, vinyl clad. I haven't looked at them recently, but every single one of the windows is new, is a new Pella window that was put in 1995. And you're holding Bliss Mansion up as an example of a good restoration. So think about that.
Dick, I think you might remember, too, isn't that upper story on the Bliss Mansion a new addition? Weren't you there? No, I think it was because Dick was on the.
They raised the roof and
they added 3 feet to the upper floor.
I believe they added 3 feet to the upper floor because Dick and I were both on the commission when they started that, and it was open for 2 years. And our demolition by neglect ordinance is a direct result of that project.
I'd like to make a motion.
I'll entertain that motion.
And since it's written so nicely. I move to approve HRC 14145, a request from Richard Wiffley, property owner, Marilyn Harper, trustee of Pruitt Family Trust, to replace 9 single-pane windows with 9 double-pane windows on property zoned residential office located at 403 North Nevada Street, APN 003-225-04. Based on the findings and conditions of approval outlined in the staff report, the standards and guidelines for rehabilitation, the Carson City Historic District guidelines, and consistent with Historic Resources Commission policies.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on the motion? Any public comment on the motion? Is that correct? Any public comment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
No.
Let's see, four in favor?
Pure.
Counting right. One abstention, 2 noes, and 4 yeas. So it looks like the motion carries. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Wiffley. Appreciate all your time and effort on this. And, you know, as I've said in the past, if you have any other projects that deal with windows and they want to come see how I've restored mine, they're more than welcome to come
by. I want to say thank you, but, you know, the discussion was really important to have, as Greg and Elizabeth brought up. And, you know, it was an important discussion to have. And, you know, the preservation thing, I think it was important that it was out there.
Okay? We appreciate the product that you brought to us, too.
I'm sorry?
We really do appreciate the product that you brought.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Dick.
right, now on to action on item F2, HRC-14-142 for possible action to approve a request from Philip Hersey to install roof-mounted solar panels on properties on single-family 6000 SF6 located at 700 West Telegraph Street, APN 003-244-02. Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request, as you mentioned, from Mr. Hersey to place solar panels on his property at the corner of Telegraph and Mountain Street. And in this aerial, you can kind of see the roof of this property, and I'm going to show you on the aerial before I move into the other pictures where exactly Mr. Hersey is proposing these panels go. So here where I'm pointing the mouse is where Mr. Hersey is proposing these solar panels would go. This, as you can see in the photos, this is what the site looks like from the Telegraph Street side. And I'm sorry, and then before I move on, you'll note that this is actually a parapet wall that comes up the side of that roof. This is the Elizabeth Street side of the house, and these photos were taken probably a week or two ago. And then this is the Mountain Street side of the house. And I'll note that the Mountain Street side of the house is the rear of the house. However, it does face a street frontage. The roof, again, that the applicant is proposing the solar panels to go on would be this roof right here. And essentially on, I believe, the southern half of this roof that's facing to the west. This is a photo, a drawing that shows essentially where the array is going to be placed on the roof. And then this is a photo and kind of a description and specifications of the solar panels that the applicant is proposing. You'll note that they are essentially the flat solar panels that would be flat against the roof. The applicant has stated that they'll essentially be about 6 inches above the roof, but they will not be above the roof angle. It'll follow the roof angle and be essentially flat to the roof angle is what he's proposing. I included this site plan and actually some other elevations that are related to a future proposed garage that the applicant has informed me that he is intending to bring before the commission. I'll note, obviously, that is not part of this application, and staff's recommendations for where these solar panels would be appropriate to be located are on the west roof, regardless of whether the garage is there or not. However, what I would like to note is that should the commission choose to approve these on the west-facing roof and the garage is constructed, then that would further obstruct the view at some point in the future of these panels. So just a couple things. I talked with the applicant at length about this application because I did have a concern about the fact that the panels would be facing Mountain Street. And I'm actually going to, go back to that photo. So we had a long discussion about the fact that these panels are being proposed on the west-facing slope of the house, and the applicant told me that he had looked into possibly doing the south-facing slope of the house, but that's on a signature side of the house, and he didn't feel that that would be something that would be acceptable to the HRC. I would tend to agree with him. And he has a kind of a unique situation because he has three street frontages. So really every side except one, and it's of course the north side that isn't really effective for solar panels, has street frontage issue that we need to deal with, so which is really the best option. And this is why the applicant has chosen the west side. I also spoke with him about the new garage that he's proposing, given the fact that he provided that information to me, and whether or not it would be appropriate for him to consider the solar panels to be on the new garage, because as you probably have noted in the staff report, one of the things to consider is putting solar panels on new construction versus the historic structure itself. And the applicant's response to me with that was that he had considered that but was concerned because the south-facing roof of that structure, once it's constructed, it would face the Telegraph Street side, and the solar panels would then be highly visible from the Telegraph Street side. So he again felt that the west side would be more appropriate. So I leave it up to the commission on what they feel is appropriate. Staff is recommending approval, and it's based on the Secretary of Interior standards number 2 and number 9. The historic character of the property shall be retained and preserved. The removal of historic materials or alterations of features and spaces that characterize a property shall be avoided. And on that one, it's based on the fact that they are proposed to be at the rear of the house, not on the side or the front, which would be considered more of the signature side of the house. Although, again, the rear is facing Mountain Street, which staff is aware is a concern. And the new additions, exterior alterations, or related new construction shall not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. And this is being proposed on an asphalt roof that staff doesn't consider to be historic. So the destroying of historic materials, I don't believe, applies in this case. In addition, I looked at some other resources and guidelines that were available to me and that I presented to the commission back in December of last year, guidelines that are at the national level through the National Park Service and also from the National Trust for Historic Preservation, because we don't have good standards right now in our code. And we've had discussions about that before, and it is on staff's list of things to do to modify the code. However, until staff is able to do that, the direction that we had received from the commission back in December was to use the guidelines that were available to us at the time. So a couple of those things, and then I'll turn it over to the commission and then to the applicant to answer any questions that he has. Locate solar panels on the site of the resource. To be honest, I didn't discuss this with the applicant. It could be a good option to put it on the ground as opposed to on the structure. Knowing that there is the possibility of a detached garage that is not a part of this application, it may take up a significant part of the backyard doing that. Locate solar panels on new construction. I kind of mentioned my discussion with the applicant about that as well. Locate solar panels on non-historic buildings and additions. Same thing, new construction, non-historic. Place solar panels in areas that minimize their visibility from a public thoroughfare. So this one's really tough because he's got three. So it's kind of like, which one is the best option of the three that we're looking at? And he selected the Mountain Street side because it is the rear of the property. Avoid installations that would result in permanent loss of significant character-defining features of historic resources. Again, because the applicant's proposing to install it at the rear of the property, staff feels that that's the best way to minimize the loss of character-defining features. Avoid solutions that require or result in removal or permanent alteration of historic fabrics. It's being installed on asphalt shingles, so staff doesn't consider those to be removal or permanent alteration. Require low profiles. The applicant is proposing low profile. Flat roofs, that section doesn't apply. Avoid disjointed and multi-roof solutions. And the applicant isn't proposing disjointed or multi-roof solutions. He is not proposing an exact rectangle because, as you can see in this photo, there are a couple areas where the parapet casts a shadow across the roof. And so to maximize the effectiveness of the panels, the applicant has elected to propose having a few of them not be installed as a part of this installation. So it essentially is kind of like an L shape. And ensure that solar panels, support structures, and conduits blend into the surrounding features of the historic resource. So the applicant didn't really provide me with a whole lot of information on conduits and support structures, but I have put a recommended condition in related to that to make sure that they blend. And as it relates to previous historic structures and solar installations that have happened in the past, I have also put a recommended condition that The solar panels shall not extend beyond the peak or the bottom edge of the west-facing roof. Now, you could take that one step further if the commission chooses to do so and say it can't extend beyond any edge of the roof. However, on the south side is the parapet wall, and then on the north side is this change in roof line. So I don't believe that the panels would be able to extend beyond them regardless. So staff is recommending approval. We have received, since the writing of this report, two emails from concerned citizens. One is the owner of the property that's directly west of this property, the Hansons. And the other one is a concerned citizen who is related to the Hansons, also has the same concerns, given the fact that this is on Mountain Street. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Mr. Hersey is in the audience as well to answer questions if you have them.
Do you guys have any questions for staff?
Question. I have a statement or a question. I've been considering this for a while. I mean, we had the 10 guidelines from the National Trust for Historic Preservation worked into our packet. So even though we don't have guidelines per se yet within the city, we have that to fall back on. So the first thing things they want you to do have relevance. They want to put the panels on a non-historic structure if they can. But they also want them to be situated where they're as less visible to the public. So we got this tricky situation where this is a very exposed kind of property with in multiple directions. It's fairly visible, right? You don't really have a giant backyard that nobody can see. So I've been tussling with this myself. I mean, my first thought was, well, build a garage and stick it on the garage. I mean, our very first one we approved, the Edwards house, was placed on the newer addition behind the old historic structure. It made it a lot easier to approve that. And number two, I should point out why that looks good, I think, is it's sort of black on black. I mean, I think like a lighter roof and then all that black, it's much more apparent. If you have or consider having a darker roof or a black shingled roof or near to that or something, and then all this black paneling and conduit and stuff, it blends in more.
Let me just interrupt for a second. So, let's let Phil come to the podium and state his project. Because
sure.
It sounds like a lot of what you're saying might be questions that you have for Mr. Hersey.
Surely.
Okay. Mr. Hersey, would you like to come to the podium, state your name, and
sure.
Tell us about your project?
Phil Hersey. And I think I got the inspiration from the Edwards house that it may be possible to have solar panels in the historic district. This is the rear-facing side of my house. Awkwardly, it does face Mountain Street. There was the issue of it not facing south. There's a lot of discussion right now that facing west actually is a better option in many instances, because the solar panels generate more power during the peak times of the day when it's actually needed by the grid. The light-colored roof. I'm getting a lot of solar pickup in the back of the house, which is why it's a light-colored roof. I had awnings back there trying to shade the windows from picking up the west sun. That wasn't it. It was coming through the top. On that particular roof, I wouldn't mind going back to black shingles around it, because there wouldn't be that much exposed anymore. On the other side of the roof, I've been looking for a good composite reflective shingle, and there's really not one yet. They reflect like 30%, and that's not very good. I might ask, I know this is a submission, but on that left side west-facing roof, what would the possibilities be of maybe a standing seam tin or copper? I've got tin roof on the front of my house over a bay window. So I'd be willing to do something to make it look nicer. And then there's the thing with the garage. You know, I only have this carriage house, basically, and I like to do stuff. And I've got every tool known to man. in this little tiny carriage house. I have no more space, and my yard is starting to overfill with all kinds of stuff. So then I thought, well, this is the back of the house. It's not the signature side. Kind of sort of doesn't look that great anyway. I wonder if I couldn't build a 24 by 24 garage behind there. If I did that, it would totally shield the solar array.
Well, we can't address that at all in this point because that's not on your application. And we can't go on the theoretical that, yeah, maybe someday I might, because oftentimes you might move or sell or maybe might not. On this photo that we see here, when did you paint both western faces white? I drove by there today and noticed that.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago?
I took a garden sprayer and some water-based stain and just kind of sprinkled it and made it a lighter color.
God, I would have seen it was a lot sooner than that. But anyway.
I know we can't discuss the garage right now, and I understand that it would block those solar panels if you put it there. But it seems to me if you were – I mean, I believe you want to have that agenda as for a special meeting in December.
Yes.
And while putting it on – if you had the gable facing Mountain Street and you put that solar array on the Telegraph Street side but were to set it back from your property line there, it would be real similar to the Edwards house where it's set back from the structure. It's completely separate. The biggest concern I have is the one that was brought up with the letters and Mountain Street and how this changes that view. And that one of the criteria that the National Trust has is minimize visibility from a public thoroughfare. And that is an important thoroughfare in the historic district. If you set the garage back, put it on the south-facing roof, you've got infill on the other side of Telegraph. You've got apartments down the street, and I think it's a lot less intrusive on that side than it would be on the north side. And you might actually be able to get a bigger array. You have a bigger roof. You don't have the issue of the parapet shielding some of it. So I'm just wondering if you'd be interested in bringing the whole package back at another meeting so that we could address some better ways to accomplish that.
I kind of didn't think you guys would like it because as the Edwards house, it's going to be very, very visible from the street. It's going to be a newer structure. It's going to be very visible. Whereas if I build a garage and I put it back there, much, much less visible, but I don't know what the criteria are for what you guys like or not. I might prefer it on the garage, maybe.
I'm around the corner, Phil, and I'd be happy to meet with you, discuss it, and come up with some ideas that gives you a treatment real similar to what the
Edwards house. See the proposed placement of the garage is 10-foot setback from Telegraph Street, right there.
We really can't discuss that since it's not an agenda item. But I think if you wanted to continue this and put it in as a single submission, in the meantime, we could talk.
All right. If that's possible, I would prefer to put it on the garage. But I don't know.
I'm more than willing to. I live around the corner from you as well, about a block away. You're about six blocks away. But if you're willing to do that in one project and discuss placement of the garage and all that stuff in your thing, I think that would be great because we're dealing with solar panels, which is a hard discussion, and we're also dealing with a proposed garage that is the newer building. It's not taking away from the historical significance of the house. You know, because as you know, your house is in the lithograph in the History of Nevada in 1881, the sister house next to Mrs. McFadden's. You know, and I want to keep that as much as possible. But I would be up for that, putting solar panels on the garage, more so than the historic building.
I just want to add that as far as it being on the new garage or on the proposed area of the roof, that part of the house is not I don't consider that to be a historically significant feature of the house as far as the structure you're proposing now to put the panels on. And I went by and looked at it, and from my my perspective, I ask a couple questions. One is, first of all, are we allowing solar panels in a historic district? And obviously, we are in certain ways. Second, the visibility from the street's a big one. I think it would be more highly visible on that new garage, whether it happens or not, as opposed to having it here, because this is flat on a fairly low-sloping roof. If you were to replace the black shingles like we were had offered an opinion on, that I think would even significantly reduce its effect on the neighborhood. Matter of fact, I would be willing to bet that most people wouldn't even know they were there.
Well, yeah, I think we should, the idea of a package deal is the thing that attracts me. Put it all together. I mean, maybe it's possible that it's better to put it where you're proposing it right now, in the context of a new garage that's shielding it from the Mountain Street side, because Mountain Street's the more important street if you're going to pick one of those two streets. That's a really important street in terms of historic structures, let alone the governor's mansion down the street. But some wonderful, wonderful structures on that street. So Mountain Street's sort of like job one in terms of taking care of things, seems to me. But it's your backyard, so how do we wiggle and jiggle and work
with
that?
Well, and also keep in mind that, you know, composite shingles are newfangled too. So it already doesn't have a historic roof on it.
Sure. Well, at this point, would you be willing to continue it and bring it to us with the bigger project and scope?
Yeah, but how do I go about getting some more input as to what actually to propose? Because I have to come here and propose something, right? It's not...
Pretty much what you're doing right now sounds pretty good.
Well, these two guys can meet with you.
You know, I had the other question. What about a tin roof over there on the side? Standing seam tin, huh? Huh?
See, that's something we
could talk about. I want something reflective.
That's something we could talk about informally as well. So, I mean, if you've got questions and are willing to, you know, maybe take a look at this garage and the panels as a single package and look at solutions. You know,
It already has an issue with the shading. I'm going to have to trim a cherry tree, and I still have those parapet triangles. So, yeah, I would prefer it on the garage. I just thought you guys wouldn't like it.
Okay, so...
Well, Rob doesn't like it, but he's only one.
He lives in the neighborhood. It's just a mile up the road, Greg.
There's one in every class, right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody. Yeah, there's everyone in the group. So I guess if we can delay this to the future project, including solar on this proposed garage, and in the meantime, you could meet with Commissioner Drews and myself. And how would we go about that? I mean, obviously, we're local, and Susan?
Susan's got the contact information. She can coordinate.
Yeah, I can definitely get you in touch, as long as just two of you at a time meet with him. Of course, you don't need a Historic Resources Commission meeting at his house, right? So as it relates to continuing the meeting, my recommendation is to make a motion to continue based on the applicant being open to that.
Actually, if the applicant just requests a continuation, can't we do it that way, too?
Yes, I'd like to request a continuation.
I believe you still have to make a motion for it.
Well, are we continuing this, or are we just... stopping it now and starting with a new project?
Weave it into one proposal.
Joe Ward from the DA's office. When Susan mentioned two at a time, I want to make it clear that you can't have serial communications with a quorum to circumvent the open meeting law. And I know you all know that. And two, I think for the record, it would be nice to go ahead and just make a motion that, based on the discussion that you've had, that this matter should be continued to the next meeting.
And to follow up on that, instead of having him submit a new application, it would be a revision to the existing application that we have here. So the doing the motion to continue allows it to move forward without the risk of hitting up against that 60-day window where it would automatically become approved, especially since Mr. Hersey is so willing to work with you. we definitely want to make sure we get that.
Joe Ward from the DA's office, in that vein, in light of the 60 days, it may be smoother because of the uncertainty of getting this back on track to get the applicant to consent to withdraw this item and simply bring back a new item with the entire package for this body to consider.
How does that work for you as far as the complication of the application?
There is no cost for historic resources review, and I'm fine with that as well.
He doesn't have to come up with a completely new package, though, right? He can still use the same drawings and
we can still use, yeah, sections of what is here as well. And then he would just add to it based on whatever the discussion is that he has informally with some of the members.
Yeah, what I would need, I guess, is some indication, should I then move the solar array to the garage and then submit it? Because I don't think I can come back and ask for, well, option A or option B, or maybe I can.
Actually, you can. You can, yeah.
All right, well.
That would be part of our discussion, would be the two options of which roof was more conducive to the installation.
Or I'll just write it up as either way.
You could phrase your next application as placement of solar arrays and not be specific. And we can discuss whether we put them in the garage for that matter.
You can also include your roof, your tin, if you wanted to bring that at the same time.
I don't know. I won't bring it up if you won't, but if I'm going to do something with it, that's kind of, I kept looking for a composite reflective material, and they just don't really have anything. Mm-hmm. Although they do have some historic stuff, like tin or copper, which is very reflective. But I don't know. There's some houses here that have it. I don't remember the name of it, but some of them have it. But
well, this
maybe save that for later. You guys can talk to me about
so
it.
Would going forward on this, are we asking Mr. Hersey to rescind his application, then he can resubmit using components of this existing application?
He can do that, and if he does that, then you don't need to take action.
Okay, would you prefer to rescind and then...
Yes, I'd like to rescind my application.
Okay, and then we can come back with two or three different options. And okay, is everybody in agreement to that? Okay, great. Well,
thank you, sir.
Get a hold of Susan for our contact information. We'd love to get together with you.
Thank you.
Meeting one time. That's not so much. Because you're seven.
Thanks, Mr. Hersey. On to item number G, staff reports, non-action items. Susan?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Okay, so future agenda items. I don't have anything to report, but I did want to give you some input on or some information on future agenda items. So assuming that we get everything from Mr. Hersey in a timely manner, we will see his application back for a special meeting in December, and I also expect that we will see Mr. Bauer's application back in December as well. Yeah, so... that is the plan for now, and that's all I have.
All right, commissioner reports? Seeing none. Public comments? Seeing no public. Item I, action on adjournment.
So moved.
Do I have a motion second?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carried.